Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tell me about this book. How's it going?
Well, it's, I'm behind. I'm behind on my book, and it's pretty well polluting my days and nights, if you really want to know.
Well, how much have you written of it?
Not one word.
Creative problems, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose I can help you with that.
Limitless supply.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 433. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He also has writer hair, Dunaway.
Oh, I do have writer's hair. Mm-hmm. There's gum in it as well. Mm. Oh, hi. Mm. You know, they say we can only access 20% of our brains. Here, take this breath mint. It will let you access 100% of your fresh breath and cost like 8 cents a pop. Now you are limitless. Go forth and make the love. Clean your house and make some spreadsheets. Not necessarily in that order. You will conquer the world, you minty smooth talker, you. Don't do drugs. Oh, are you back already? Yeah, those mints, they only last like 10 minutes tops. But don't worry. I have a whole baggie of mints for like $8. You just have to chain suck a mint every 10 minutes to keep being limitless. Oh, did I forget that part? Well, shit breath. Them are the breaks. Don't do drugs. 20%. I'm lucky to use 10%. Now go forth with this bag of mints. Make the love, buy a suit, and become a hotshot day trader. You are limitless. Also, I think you were only accessing like 5% of your brain. It's like everything you know is from crappy movies. Really, don't do drugs.
Yeah, it was like Neo there with the fighting. He learned that from the
movies. I just like the fact that he introduced the term chain suck.
Yeah, chain suck.
You got a chain suck.
Yeah, chain suck. That's awesome. Also with us, Randy G. I think the lawyer might be Dirty Jordan.
Aloha, Dirty Jordan. Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I created a highly successful designer super drug?
Nope.
True story. And you're going to be like me if you, you're going to end up dead. I'm dead. Nothing causes the entire world to divide up into two factions of people who want to either have sex with you or want to kill you, like acquiring a whole mess of power and money. Mm-hmm. And of course, a trip to the salon where you get rid of that supernaturally scruffy long hair. Anyway, rest in peace me, rest in peace you, but have fun getting laid first. That makes it all worth it.
Nice. This is good.
So true.
This is good advice.
So true.
Finally with us, Brian, your biggest mistake was giving a pill to the Armenian Ibit.
Oh, so true, yeah. Thanks, Scott. So this week we watched the film Limitless, and oh, wait a minute, let me take one of my special film sack pills. Oh, yeah, there we go. Ah, everything's totally crystal clear now. I'm picking up on so much of my surroundings. I mean, I can not only hear what Scott, Randy, and Brian are saying, I can detect other things from their audio about what's going on. Like, listen to Brian Dunaway. Ah, that tiny little gurgle in his stomach means that he just ate a McRib sandwich. And since McDonald's isn't selling them right now, that means he's got a stockpile in his freezer.
It's true.
And Randy. Wow. Randy's little vocal cues are telling me that the southern accent that he uses in his intros is his real actual voice, and that the rest of the time he's just doing a voice that's a calculated combination of Texas, Hawaii, and... there it is, Lithuanian. Amazing. And Scott.
Yeah.
Say something, Scott.
Horse meat.
Well, nothing there. Oh, well, you can't win them all.
2% of his
brain. 2%. 2%. If you're lucky. That was fantastic. That was nice. Hey, the movie is Limitless, everybody. Limitless is the movie. That's what it's called. It came out in 2011. It's directed by Neil Berger. I love a good Neil Berger. Is so good. And it stars your Bradley Cooper and your Abbie Cornish and a bunch of other folks, including Robert De Niro, which I had no idea Robert De Niro was in this. I sat down to watch it. And
I'd forgotten that Robert, I've seen this movie maybe two or three times, and I'd forgotten until
it's a very forgettable role for him, oddly.
Is it, though? I thought he was pretty good in it. I like
him.
Oh,
he did.
He's really good in it. But it really, I mean, that could have been anybody, right? I mean, that could have been.
Carl Van Loon could have been anybody.
Yeah. That's his name. Yeah.
That's his name.
No, you're right.
Loon. Yeah.
Hold on. Let's put Nicolas Cage in there for a. I'm not sure anybody.
You know what? Brandy's right.
Close to anybody.
You're right.
But you're right. You're right that Busey could have done it. Woo.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. I could have done Busey.
I wouldn't believe Bradley Cooper could outsmart Busey. I think.
Do you think it's a little weird I hate to jump this far ahead, but it always struck me as a little strange that if De Niro ended up knowing all about this pill, why wasn't De Niro taking the pill?
Right. So I'd worried about
probably
that.
Like about the side effects and
exactly. Mm. It's a calculated risk for him.
Okay. The entire film hinges on one little thing that the almost dead guy says.
Mm.
This entire movie, you have to really go all in on the guy, the brother-in-law who first gives him the drugs before he dies.
Yeah.
When he says, it only makes really smart people smarter in the first place. And it's a throwaway line. And you're just like, you might miss that. But he may as well have been saying it only works on one person in a million, and you happen to be the one, because like that drug otherwise, like, it makes no sense. It's the most
but then I mean, there'd be a chance that he wouldn't be able to, like, you'd have to go around giving everybody one of these and seeing which person it actually works on. They play into that a little bit more with the TV show, the whole like there is a TV show, and it's a sadly canceled after two seasons TV show that I thought that Tina and I loved. It was really, really good.
Probably Netflix.
One of the most likable. It is on Netflix, and one of the most likable main characters who Eddie actually interacts with in the first episode, and you know, halfway through the season, Bradley Cooper is in this show.
Which is pretty cool. Did that guy do anything else since? Is he
That guy, you know him from a bunch of things. Hold on a second. Let me pull up his name, because you see him all around. Jake McDorman is the guy's name. Mm. And you've seen him in such films as Live Free or Die Hard. Let's see here. American Sniper.
Oh. I like that. It's another Bradley Cooper deal.
What We Do in the Shadows. Oh, right. In What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, he is the long-lost reincarnated boyfriend of one of the vampires.
Oh, he's the guy who works at the parking garage.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, I know who this is.
And he's the main character he's the new Eddie Mora in Limitless. And he is the most likable main character you'll ever see in a TV show.
We need to stop just a moment. It's been at least a month since I've insisted that everyone watch What We Do in the Shadows. it is the funniest show on TV. It is the true epitome of Matt Berry. It is Matt Berry playing the role he was born and trained to play. Mm-hmm. You have to watch this show.
It's the second best movie of 2015. I would also recommend watching the movie if you haven't seen it. Yes, but it is utterly fantastic that we live in a world where they were somehow able to pull off that TV show and make it work. That's amazing.
And I think it you know hinges on the fact that they kind of like Limitless found a group of actors to carry on the show without having to rely on any of the actors from the movie. Mm-hmm. And you do get some of that, the movie, the Jermaine Clement over. And mm-hmm. yeah, some of the people from the movie, but
there's an episode
able to carry it on themselves.
Right.
There's an episode in the first season of What We Do in the Shadows that we now have where everyone from the movie makes a cameo and it's awesome.
Yes.
That's great.
The concept of Limitless is pretty good, and it's been used elsewhere, you know, using your, you know, unlimited
untapping
potential.
Right, untapping right. That whole 80%, which I think is
it's a myth.
It's wrong.
It's a total right. myth. Yeah,
well, it's a
myth. Yeah, the way they place it, way they put it, it's always how it's phrased. A lot of people say, "Oh, we only use 20%," and it's like we only have accessibility to 20% is kind of how they framed it here. So, you know, the brain does a lot of things.
Yeah,
other than, you
but
know,
all that stuff's more shit. Like, all that stuff is disproved. Right. There's no, like, we only use this part or can only access this part. It's just a matter of, like, do you have, are you really good at shit or aren't you? Kind of, basically, yeah, that's what it is.
The real conceit here is the myth that everything you've ever experienced is still stored useful? In your brain somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, your brain has unlimited storage capacity, mm-hmm. but it's just encrypted. And so something that happened to you 30 years ago is in there somewhere, and it's not. That's just
that's
false.
What, mm-hmm. That's what was most intriguing about this to me, because it's like Bradley Cooper's exposure to any type of culture up to that point was mostly TV. And so everything mm-hmm. he knew was to, you know, the nth degree on, you know, what he watched Bruce Lee fight. Well, that's great and all, but even if you saw it, how would you actually apply it to each fight? And,
well,
and,
plus that
and what
stuff
kind of
was,
other knowledge was he getting that was fictitious that he thought now he was limitless?
Right, and even that stuff in those movies was, you know, that's choreographed fighting. It's not like a real fight. So.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I got upset pretty quickly when I realized that his moral code wasn't mine. Like, I was like, oh, he gonna go cure cancer real soon. Like, he's not, forget all of these problems that are immediate to him. You know what I mean? Like, this is, you're above all this now. Like, the woman yelling at you out in the hallway about paying your rent or whatever, like, this is nothing to you now. No, it's something to him. And I was like, oh, that's too bad, because...
Well,
like,
that's their setup.
They set it up. They even say it, right?
The first thing that that he does with his new powers is realize that...
sex.
Well, it is that he has sex.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's like, oh, I can analyze. Oh, there's a little book in her bag. Oh, and she's, you know, she's angry at me, but I think she's more angry at herself. And like figuring out all this stuff. It's like, it's the Peter Parker accidentally touches a wall and realizes he can climb up it kind of moment.
And they put it
and have
put
sex
out,
with the wall. Mm-hmm.
They put it out there. They put it out there immediately, and they kind of repeat it several times. What would you do? So it's like, I'm going to do this. This is my, you know, my narcissistic personality. This is what I would do. I want to be president, which I never could quite land on what his end game was, because really the only thing I really knew he wanted was to be back with his girlfriend. And he kind of got that. So why does he need to be president? I didn't quite understand, because if your desires are to be a writer,
then he can get back with all of his old girlfriends.
So he was wanting to be a writer was his original dream. So
And so like I say, when he finishes the book, it's like, oh wow, bravo. But no one would actually do that. No one would waste any time. That like you would suddenly realize, oh wow, I have a very limited amount of time to maximize whatever it is that I'm going to do until this runs out. I am you would not sit and write a book.
But it was it was a fun. This movie is a thought experiment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Taken completely to fruition. So it's interesting to see people's different motivation. Yeah.
It's go ahead.
I do like the fact that, you know, one of the first things he does, which should be the very first thing you do, it's kind of like the genie wishing for a million wishes, is figure out how to synthesize more of this drug. And we find out he is not smart enough to do that. So I guess there are limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's limited. His own personal unlimited potential, right? I mean, it has to do with what his desires are and what direction he's willing to.
It's the unlimited potential, but whether or not he reaches that or makes mistakes isn't really the part about the limitless. It's just that he could, in theory, on this stupid drug. But the movie ended up being so much more of an allegory about addiction than I expected.
It really was.
I thought that stuff was handled really well and was in some ways kind of obvious and opaque, but also pretty accurate. Like if you've got even if this stuff is not physically addictive physical dependence isn't part of this, it wouldn't even matter. I mean, part of it was because you're just all run down and fluey when you're not on it, and that is, you know, it's a sign of physical dependence. But even if it wasn't, you would still, the addictive behavior would continue, because why wouldn't you want to constantly be with
and this grounded that? And this grounded the film for me. That was important for them to have some truth.
I agree
in that. Yeah
I totally agree. That worked for me as well. I mean, I guess it goes without saying, maybe because I've already talked about it in positive ways, but I ended up really liking this. I was surprised how much I enjoyed this movie, because I just thought it would be, I don't know, Ibbot has sung its praises before, and I thought, well, if he liked it, I'll probably like it. So I'll eventually get around to it. And so the fact that we got to do it here is kind of cool, because then we can talk about it.
It's so much better than Lucy.
right. Yeah. But it's a whirling dervish of tropes, but they're all tropes that you feel comfortable with in the setting of the film, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's not, oh, they didn't know what to do with this character or this other, subplot. Like, everything is very, self-aware in this film, and it's okay. But at the same time, you really have to check your brain. Like, you get to be limited as much as you can, because it all
you gotta turn off 100% of your brain to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, what's nice about Bradley Cooper, and I think this is just speaks to his overall appeal and, you know, his career. He definitely can move from this run down, beat up writer with a clouded brain. Excuse me for a minute, I got to go barf out in front of your hotel. Kind of mannerisms
being agreed. But who among us was ever able to stop imagining that the narrator of this film was Rocket Raccoon?
Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of that, sure. But I guess what I'm saying is he can pretty seamlessly move from that to this incredibly brilliant, ridiculously handsome, well-spoken dude, and he's just good. Like, Bradley Cooper's good, and really he lives in these roles, and it's true of like everything I've ever seen him do. And yeah, you can hear a little Rocket Raccoon, of course.
But, bring me that guy's leg over there.
he's a little bit of Gilbert Gottfried, apparently, in that as well.
It's okay.
He is an odd bird, though, because I always see Bradley Cooper, and right away, I just want to hate him, but then I'm like, okay, I don't hate you. I can't root for you, but
too likable.
You're kind of likable. I hate it.
Yeah,
you can't be mad at the man for hooking up with 30 women like in 5 minutes. I guess you could, but I didn't understand.
Well, there's a couple of chicks in the bucket, and I need to understand these chicks in the bucket from you guys.
one very specific chick that probably her remains fit in a bucket.
Yeah, probably in a bucket. Right. So the girl, did he kill the girl, or did they do it and set him up?
I think that he did and just doesn't remember it. And it's kind of, I mean, I know that he gets off because his lawyer is able to kind of rig that lineup, but it is kind of like waved off, like, okay, we're going to forget about that whole thing.
Okay, but that's a trope. It's called Karma Houdini, and it's supposed to be entertaining. You're supposed to come away going, ooh, he can't remember if he did it. You know, what if he did or did?
Yeah, no, that's totally true. But then there was another one, which was, what was it? Oh, crap. The other big chick in the bucket for me was... what it was,
Melissa, or I hate that we didn't get to fully get to explore Melissa's character. I'm curious if they did.
Oh, they did kind of leave her hanging. Yeah,
and Anna Friel, who played in Pushing Daisies TV series. Great.
Yes, I love her. I like her. Yeah,
she's great.
We never get to hear her real accent either. Like, she's as British as British gets, or something.
But she just kind of weaves in and out, and just almost as a conscience, almost like tells them what's going to happen, this foreshadowing. But she just really just kind of disappears.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. I mean, I feel like a lot of characters had this problem. They just kind of went away after a while. And weirdly, I was just kind of okay with it. Like, again, I think the movie does a pretty good job of not making me care too much. I only have one really major issue with the movie, and it was the girl. She takes one pill. She's at the park. She's trying to get away from that freaky dude, and she's now smarter and can think of the way out. The pill gives you the way out. What's the way out? And she chooses the way out is to go out on the skater rink, pick up a kid, and then slice the guy in the face with her skates.
That was my favorite. I'm going to use this kid as a switchblade.
It was stupid. Well,
yeah, it's basically like, all right, which one of those people can I effectively carry and swing around? Like, which one of those people with ice skates is light enough that I can do it?
Because her looking
answered the question. It really did answer the question, though. Why didn't she continue to use the drug? Because she woke up the next morning and went like, oh crap,
I don't want this.
Just used a child as a human shield or knife. And I'm not doing that again.
I get that, but it's just if from effectiveness, like when she was hunting around, she sees the baseball bat, she sees the guy with the clippers. I would have gone with the baseball bat or the clippers. Like, what are you doing? Like, what, you're gonna go? As soon as they showed the skate, I went, oh, they're doing the skate. They're going to do the skate.
I like the skate, though. That father was like, what?
Sorry, I just had to fend off an attacker who's been chasing me for the last 5 minutes. Thank God your daughter was around.
That was weird.
Yeah, so can we talk about improvised weapons? This movie probably takes the cake.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was like an early Jason Statham action film with improvised weapons.
Transporter.
I actually thought for just a second when he first goes to meet a guy in a cafe early in the film, I thought, oh, that's Jason Statham. It was not. But I thought it was. I was convinced for just a minute.
The Armenian? He is. Anyway. That guy's great. He chewed up the scenes for me. I think that Armenian dude was great.
That was Robert John Burke. Is that who that was? Is that right? No, wait a minute. Let me see. What was the actor's name? Was it Pierce?
I don't know. He's great.
Anyway, I just
Gindy. Go ahead.
You need to fight for your life, and you see some syringes. Okay, sure. Yeah, those are weapons. But a piano? Right. A piano is a weapon? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and that guy, never hire a henchman who's already got one full cataract, because if you poke out the other eye with a needle, then he's screwed. Right. He's blind as a bat.
He's already handicapped, but already has a
That scene confused me, because I was like, if you've only got one eye, you would think you'd like be very protective of the other, and he was just like, all like, I don't care. I'm just going to... whatever, safety glass is not for me. So then you get stabbed in the eye, and then there's two people in the room besides himself. One's his friend, and one's the guy he's trying to kill, and he's just shooting randomly. I don't care who I care. Yeah.
That's an example of too dumb to live, and it's one of the things I disliked about this movie. That person should never have made it this far in life, ever. It's not possible.
Well, he's some dirty Armenian thug who doesn't have access to the pills that Vasily over there is eating, like it's nothing, or putting in his veins. So I think he's just, I don't know, he is too dumb to survive, and he just got lucky, and he finally made it to a place where there was no way he was going to make it. But his poor buddy there, like, just just gets shot by the blind guy. The only thing he could hit, the broadside of the barn turned out to be his partner, which is pretty funny.
Has anybody do all Armenians? I suppose that was Armenian.
I've been saying that because I don't actually know.
Right? Do they all slap their neck when they're taking pills dry like that? Because that was just
is that the Armenian way of taking a pill dry?
Yeah,
it's stage acting is what it is. It really suddenly felt like, oh wait, this person is a stage actor who's trying to get an audience to go along with what he just pretended to do, you know.
But it was awesome.
I liked it.
Could have dug it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start taking pills like that always.
A one-eyed gun henchman is as dumb as Samuel L. Jackson standing in front of an open pool of sharks in Deep Blue Sea. Like, seriously, that's how dumb we're talking.
Yeah, they're pretty dumb. Except that, you know, they don't. You felt like Samuel L. Jackson was like a main character, and then suddenly he wasn't. Which was a really weird thing in that movie, but
even more than the Seagal moment in Executive Decision.
Sure. I didn't know this, but apparently Shia LaBeouf was Shia, if you want, whatever you want to call
him. So they say.
Supposed to be cast as Eddie, had to drop out after badly injuring his left hand in a car accident in 2008. Now, if that's true, great. If it's not, but
I can see him fitting the part of this. I can see him doing the role. I don't see, because he's, a lot of people don't find him likable at all. And so instead you put Bradley Cooper very likable in here. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if this would have worked.
I totally agree. Like totally agree.
That's the kind of trivia where it's like, who can we come up with that is so the opposite that it's a troll?
Mm. Yeah, it might be. I mean, it very well might be. And there's no way for me to verify this. But if he wasn't, in fact, considered for it, in 2011,
nobody plays spastic like him, though. He plays some right. spastic. Yeah, yeah, manic.
He would have run down the hall going, no, every time he did anything. But we're
talking about 10 years ago for casting this film, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. like we need to add, let's see, Jonah Hill was considered.
Was he? He was still huge then.
No, I'm adding names.
But what I'm saying is he would have been, I see what you mean. Like, these are all, this is like,
I
mean, saying,
I could see Jake Gyllenhaal. I could see,
let's see, I'm adding Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry.
Why Tyler Perry?
What about three named kid from Third Rock from the Sun?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I could see.
Yeah. Oh, and Hayden Christensen.
Sure.
Hayden Christensen was considered for the lead role in Limitless.
Didn't he play in a movie that was similar to this?
No, that was Push. Like or not Push. It's the one where you could teleport Push. Anywhere. Was it Push?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't Push.
It was Push.
It was Push. Yeah.
Push? Push. Starting to sound really funny in my head, but yeah, that was a moment where you could go, he could leap to the top of a pyramid from New York,
right,
and just be there.
Oh, you said Hayden Christensen. I thought you were saying Thomas Hayden Church. Okay, I could see that now.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Thomas Hayden Church. That's way better.
Yeah, we're making false rumors about casting.
Right.
You just went way over my badness.
Mm. You know what would have been kind of fun? This is a weird idea, but why not swap the roles? Let's have Robert De Niro, who's, you know, here, I think he's in his 60s or something.
Right. Oh, I like that idea.
Have him be like, you know, he's a janitor at some high school. I don't know what.
Yeah. Nothing then, to lose kind of guy.
Yeah.
Right?
And then you get this pill and then his whole life changes. And the bad guy is this Bradley Cooper guy that owns some huge thing and he's young and he's, you know, all this. Like, that's almost a more interesting story.
Hmm. Right. I think so too. How about we call that like bucket list or something? You could just like.
Yeah. If it wasn't already taken, we could use it.
There's already a bucket list.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
So Ibbot during the week says, I know exactly what the gross out moment can be for you. And here's what's funny about that, because I got to the scene where it was a very quick cut, but it was a flashback of where he barfed on his boss's desk.
Yep. Yes.
And I went, that's the one Brian was talking about. That's the gross scene. Okay, cool. I'll talk to him about it tomorrow. And then the movie kept going. And then he went out and upside down camera barfed hardcore out in the front of this fancy hotel.
Yeah, like a multiple.
A very chicken noodle soup puke.
Yeah.
See, and that's one where you've got to have some sort of vessel too, because he had several puke bouts. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, bleh, and then, bleh.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with like all right, I'm going to hold this liquid in my mouth, but not make it look like I'm holding this liquid in my mouth and then throw it.
Yeah, it's like one of those SNL skits where they would put
a hose
on their hand and they'd hold it with, their hand. And you could kind of see it on screen. So then I thought, oh, that's the one he's talking about. Okay, that's pretty gross. I'll talk about that tomorrow. And then the movie goes on. And then he proceeds to floor drink the blood of his fallen Armenian villain. And I went, oh, that's the one.
At this point, you got to wonder what could be the fourth moment.
Yeah.
Right. What could have possibly.
What's going to top those?
Yeah.
Like, what if he has to eat somebody's toenail?
Right. You know, And the thing is, I knew the movie was PG-13 and they couldn't go much worse. So I really did wonder at the blood scene. I went, can there be one worse than this? Because
I was hoping you'd flop around like a fish trying to suck, you know, oxygen out of water. That's what I was really, but it didn't really happen.
Flop around.
Yeah. But like a Magikarp on the floor.
Well,
why didn't he just use the
hypodermic needle was right there. He could have like just injected like a. Done a little thing, even with the blood on the floor, just go and then jab it into his vein.
He couldn't breathe.
How diluted would it be being processed through that? I just made
that. Yeah, that made no sense. There's not enough. There's not enough of a dose there, certainly to last as long as it ended up lasting. Like, come on.
Right.
Well, maybe we're supposed to believe that he somehow ingested a full dose worth because, like, you know, like this is just symbolic of him ingesting. Right. So like he actually ingested a gallon of this stuff.
Right, right. So I maybe because he'd already maybe it was one of those things where he just had to believe in himself and he just needed that.
Oh, that's one of my favorite tropes. The power was in
the
you.
Power, exactly. Yes, he didn't need the ruby slippers.
Well, that kind of ended up being that in the end, right? Because he claims
that's what he said anyway.
Yeah. He claims he was done.
I think he just figured out a way to synthesize a non-dangerous version of it.
Okay. You think that's what it was? And then, that's what I think. Well, we had that. See, there's the other chick in the bucket that maybe wasn't a chick in the bucket after all, but that guy said, if you can do this in 2 months, I'll give you $2 million or whatever it was. That doctor guy, and then he grins at him, and then that's the last we see of that dude. So my thing,
yeah, but
is,
we hear that. I mean, De Niro says he shut that lab down,
right?
Yeah, and he said, "Do you think it'd be the only lab I'd have? I have labs all over the city. Mm. I'm like Batman.
So, I have a lab inside the lab. You didn't even know about."
So,
what y'all think about the Inception camera work kind of thing? Where it,
infinite zooms.
That was cool, man.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's
really
a really
cool
effect. Do you think if they were to do that now, they would just use a drone and fly a drone down the sidewalk of New York?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe there's a quality to it though that goes through windshields and people's windows. And
I mean, you'd integrate some special effects with it, but there's it's like it's a. There are seams that you can't see unless you're kind of thinking about it. Like you look off in the distance and there's a bunch of people who are just standing still. But then as you get closer to them, then they start moving around. And it's like, okay, I think
it's television.
It's television.
And if you keep your eyes on the outsides of it, which is really hard to do since it is tunnel vision. If you keep your eyes on the outside, you can see the transforming.
It's the whole idea of tunnel vision, right? It's just to keep it in the tunnel.
But it's a very cool effect, and I'm guessing that they just had to station themselves further and further and further, do a zoom, and then use crossfading.
Sure it was a collection of zooms. They went and did a ton of zooms and then came back and did a bunch of posts, and it was very effective, and the music was really cool with it.
I just want to say this is a good director. Like the film has problems on the script. There's certain things you just can't overcome, right? Like this is never going to win Oscars.
Yeah,
but it was very well directed. I actually found myself going, okay, I've also seen a couple of other things Neil Berger has done. What could I watch that I haven't seen? And the answer is Billions, the Showtime series.
I hear that is amazing, that show. I have not seen
apparently,
it either,
but... He apparently directs every episode, like Fincher directs every episode of Mindhunter. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. I'm going to go watch this.
Oh, that's not true, actually, though. I was noticing that because I wondered if Fincher did every single Mindhunter, and he hardly does it.
Don't tell me otherwise.
He does. Okay.
Stop it.
I'll just say the Fincher paste is on everything, so it's fine. But there are a lot of, they got a bunch of directors.
Fincher paste.
That show's so good. I just finished that second season. I love it. Anyway, okay. So, other thing I really liked, very effective, and this is again director stuff and cinematographer stuff, but I love how the filters and the lighting and the colors changed when he was on the pills versus when he was off the pills. And in some ways it was super obvious, and most movies try to make that more subtle, but I liked the obviousness because it was like, okay, we're on the pill now. This is when we're on the pill.
But agree with me that if they dialed it down, it would have been more fun to discover as a viewer.
Maybe. I mean,
because then you would feel more clever, right?
Right, because Bradley Cooper's blue eyes are so dreamy in all cases. So you don't have to do much around him to use that effect. Mm-hmm. And it's just like when it goes so far that you're like, oh, this is a funny filter from my iPhone 2. Like, oh, no, it's too far.
Is it filter or is it contacts or is it just Bradley Cooper?
It's just Bradley Cooper. That guy's got, well, I'm sure some filter.
Piercing blue eyes.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. But I thought that just looked really effective, and he looked schlubby when he needed to and tired and sick. And then when he wasn't, he was in tip-top shape. And it was just a very well technically done way of making that all look. And I liked it. But this movie immediately reminded me how much I hate the world of high finance and Wall Street stuff. I hate it.
I just don't think I would. I know we talked about money is power, and that's what this was kind of going. But really, do you need power for happiness? I don't think
so.
No,
you don't.
If he was able to fully unlock his potential, I just don't know if he would pursue power, because he's a writer. I mean, what was he really trying to do with writing? Most writers are not looking for power. power. Yeah, but
they here's what they were trying to push with that. When they were down in wherever they were, Ibiza or whatever, and he jumped off the cliff, they were trying to push this notion that he just had to have constant forward motion, had to be always moving, had to be going.
Always a crank, basically. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. And so what is that in modern society? Well, it's climbing this, you know, this ladder of capitalism if you're here in America, I guess. And you just keep going and keep going and keep going. I mean, I bought the conceit. That was okay with me. But it just makes me angry because it's any movie. I hate the world of like stuffy suit dickheads in a room figuring out how to topple some other company. I hate it. Freaking hate it.
By the way, they filmed that beach far away scene in Nayarit, Mexico.
Mm.
And I did not at all think Mexico. Like when they're just very quickly in. Simple. I was like you said Ibiza. I was thinking Monaco.
Yeah, Monaco maybe.
I was thinking Acapulco, but
yeah.
Okay. Ibit got it. It was Mexico.
Yeah, you're much closer, Ibit. But whatever reason, I was thinking more European, Mediterranean something, and I don't know why I couldn't do that. But it's beautiful. It looks amazing. Wherever that is, that's
gorgeous. Yeah,
right. Beautiful. There's a couple of ways that you can bring your audience in on what's going on in someone's head, and they chose a narration in this film. By our protagonist. I really wish they had done something with Johnny Whitworth. I don't know what his character's name is.
Oh my gosh. Vernon.
I wish the brother-in-law. I wish he could have been like an American Werewolf in London kind of dead guy just constantly popping up.
Bradley Cooper.
The Obi-Wan ghost kind of thing?
Right. Yeah, it's kind of showing
Bradley Cooper is at the police station, right? Yeah. And he finds out from the cop that the dead body is missing. And then you're like, oh, he was taking some other super drug and he survived being shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Like, I had this whole other movie in my head.
Me and Brandy must have been on the same path because I kept looking for that too. It's just like...
Yeah, and of course, Johnny Whitworth... is nobody relative to these other Hollywood superstars. He's and when I first saw him, and for a while I thought it was Ben Schwartz, John Ralphio from Parks and Recreation. Anybody?
Kind of a little bit.
Yes, and so I had a lot more sympathy for him as an actor until I realized it was this guy.
Mm-hmm. How could you say he's done, he's kind of a nobody when he was in not one, not two, but six episodes of the TV show Blindspot, only credited as Ruggedly Handsome Man.
Ruggedly Handsome Guy.
Oh, poor Johnny Whitworth. But again, you got to go through your life looking like Ben Schwartz. Sorry.
Yeah,
that's funny.
The rule. That's the deal. So I was going to say something about him and I forgot what it was. Oh crap. It was real good though. And I forgot.
But
it.
one of my favorite characters in this.
Oh wait, stop. Okay. I'll bet you're going to talk about the guy that was after everybody. This was the quiet
man
like,
in
G-Man.
The tan coat was my favorite guy because obviously he refused to take the pills. He's like, no, I'm not taking the pills, but I am going to protect the future. I'm going to protect the thing that I have chosen. And I'm going to protect it with all my heart. I'm not going to talk much. I'm going to be stupid. I'm going to follow somebody. And when I get a phone call, I'm going to answer it while I'm following somebody. And it's obviously me. Hello? Yeah,
but I hated that because he was sitting, if he was supposed to go after Bradley Cooper, he's sitting right there at the bench. They're alone. Yeah. He makes a phone call to him. He picks it up and stares at him. He was always there. Why chase him down?
At this point, he's still investigating. He's tailing him. He's trying to figure out what he's done with
the pills. No, because he gets up from that bench and chases him across town and gets stuck on a bus.
Once you've been made, you're like, it's time to go. But he should know
pretty much that the guy that he's chasing, or the guy that even he's suspecting is taking the drug, is right there.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Well, I'm sorry, but he was.
Is that just coincidence that they ended up there? Is that what you're saying, Brian?
He was tailing him.
Yeah, of course he was. But he's great. I mean, I love that. That dude's super cool looking and just scary and weird.
I love that character though.
Yeah.
Man, the tan coat.
And those poor guys at the park, man, they got stabbed like multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Just for helping out Abby.
Trying to help.
Yeah.
Abby Cornish.
Forget that. What about the poor bodyguards who had their hands off?
Oh, man.
Thrown in a safe. What?
Yeah, with one of them posed in a middle finger bird throw.
Right? The bird.
The last thing that he did. Oh, yeah, well, you, man.
But see, this is, again, speaks to, I think, good direction. All of those things are stupid on the face of them. and yeah. they somehow work. Like, it was fine. I bought into all of it. And when the bird was there, I was like, yeah, dude, that's right. Severed hand bird. Take that. You thought you were going to freak me out. Nope. I got a bird. I made a bird out of it. Like, it's there's something
the
about it.
It's worth two in the bush.
That's right. That's what they always say. That's what they tell you.
See, that's what works for this. This movie to me straddles the edge of what I think Crank steps over, the movie Crank, and steps over and just kicks you in the face with Jason Statham. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the
one
where he's got to keep going because
Crank.
Of his heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think that movie went too far. I can't enjoy Crank.
I can enjoy Crank. It's got a mean streak, which I don't. It's not my favorite thing, but I can enjoy Crank. I cannot enjoy Crank 2. Crank 2 is
terrible. The volume's a little. I like loud music and I like loud movies, but that was just a little. It's like, oh man, you went to distortion. You're just a little bit. Come back just a little bit.
It's got Amy Smart in it, and I have a crush on her. So
there's yeah,
what?
Yeah, anybody who's seen Road Trip has a crush on Amy Smart.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you can have a crush on her without seeing her boobs, I think. I think you can probably.
Cannot.
You can.
No. Can I? I just want to. I just want to point out one little thing here.
Yeah.
It just bugged me. It's still on my mind. Yeah. I cannot get this out of my head.
All right.
So Eddie takes this drug. And the first life-changing thing he figures out is how to play the stock market.
Yep.
Right.
So
not sleep with the landlady. It's play the stock market. Okay.
So he takes $500, he makes $2,000. He takes $2,000, he makes $800. He's quadrupling his money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go borrow $100,000. You're 2 days away from more than $100,000 because you're quadrupling your money. It was so weird to me that he went and borrowed $100,000. Like, he went to all the effort. He wasted so many hours of time on this precious drug to go borrow only $100,000.
It makes zero sense because we've all done the game of, well, what if you had one penny and you could double it every day? It takes no time.
Yeah, right. It's exponential. It's exponential growth. If you have exponential growth, which was what he was experiencing, he would have had that in a day or two.
He's quadrupling his money daily. Yeah. Now, if he had borrowed $5 million, I would have been like, okay, all right, he saved himself 3 days. You know, like I get that. but he borrowed $100,000. I don't understand.
Yeah,
it's once so
again,
weird.
It's once again, it's unlimited potential for his thoughts, not smart people.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
As far as this is his potential.
Right. But also, I mean, where I would have backed out is the minute the guy said, okay, if you don't pay, I cut your skin and pull it over your head like a Melvin, like a blood Melvin.
Yeah. Right. Oh, jeez.
My favorite thought experiment with that whole relationship of how he wanted, how he brought him a bag of money in a paper bag. Yep. And then later on wanted his money back or his payment, but he didn't want a check. I assume he wanted the money back in a paper bag. He has a very specific way he likes to trade money.
Yeah.
You know,
so
check. No, it must be a bag.
He wants a cash.
I want you to know, I may have told this story like a decade ago on FilmSack, but I had a friend who was, who nearly became a Dellionaire in Austin. He got some early Dell stock.
Adele, yeah, gotcha.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I thought he has as much money as Adele.
Yeah,
right. You're getting Adele, dude, and some money.
I have a friend who got some Dell stock pretty early, rode it pretty hard, but he didn't stick with it. Like he was afraid. This was in the late 90s. He was nervous that
there was a lot of cow boxes showing up at their houses, right?
No, that was Gateway.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I see what you mean. So anyway, he decided to cash out all of his holdings at a brokerage and move his money to a bank. And so he asked me to go with him to downtown Austin to do that. And the way it was working, we were just basically going to go to one bank and take money to another bank.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to avoid a bunch of fees that the first bank was going to charge him for that process.
Were you the muscle?
No, he just wanted company.
Okay.
But we went to this first bank and got $160,000 in cash and walked it two blocks in downtown Austin into another bank.
Wow.
You were the muscle.
And he had to do a bunch of paperwork at the other bank, but it saved him a significant amount in fees. They like bank fees were ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, so we go to this first place, which is the brokerage's bank, and they count out the money like four times right in front of him at a desk. And then my buddy pulls out a paper sack
nice.
and put it in. And he was like, well, I mean, like, why make a big deal of it? We're like, why would I get like a locking briefcase or something? We're going two blocks. What's going
to
happen?
I need to know the condition of this paper sack. Now, the one paper sack in the movie, like it was like leftover from Chinese takeout, like, or
crumpled
something.
Crumpled up and then reopened.
Right. Like, yeah, was yours like really crumpled up? Like they pulled it out of the trash can, or was it just a,
I think it was from HEB, and I think it actually said HEB on the side. Nice, like their brown grocery bags actually had something on them.
I would stick some bread, a loaf of bread, out of the top of that.
There you go, like it's groceries. Yeah, the official.
And by the way, $160,000 looks about that. Like when you count it out in hundreds, it wasn't as much as I was expecting. I was expecting both of us to be carrying money.
Right.
No, it fit very tidily in the space.
If I'm not here to help carry them, I'm the muscle.
Yeah, you're the muscle. So hold on though. So did were you guys nervous at all? Like walking in the street and going, realizing how much money you had on you?
Not my money.
Not really. And that's the thing. Like when I was young and living in Austin, I was never, you know, like it's fine. Everything's just fine.
Yeah.
It's
you're like, invincible when you're that age. It doesn't matter. You don't think anything bad's like going to happen. Sure.
I'm a white guy in Texas carrying a bag of money. I'm fine.
Yeah, you're all right.
What have I got to lose?
Yeah. But I guess back then, was it just like wire transfers? That was where the fees were. That's where they would get you.
Right. And it wasn't that much, but he had to go to both of them anyway. Right. Like it was like he was saving himself $40.
Yeah.
But he had to go to both of them either way. Yeah. So why not also make them give you the cash and walk
We make fun of people that do that, but you know, that's what rich people do. Rich people do stupid crap because it's like, you're only going to save $40. Yeah, but I'm rich and I want to continue to be rich.
Oh yeah. No, I can't use names here, but I have a, let's call them a family relative who's got tons of cash, three homes paid for. They rent the other two that they bought them for a bit, you know, as a moneymaker, you know, to rent them. They're humble in terms of their, you know, how they got their money. They just are tight. They keep every penny and they never spend anything. And they have, you know, all of this cash, but you'd never know it because they're always like, I'm not paying for that. That's got,
Self-made people are very frugal, whereas the children of self-made people,
not so much.
Be a different story.
Yeah, I've watched Born Rich. I love that documentary.
Oh, right? I have not seen that. Is that good? Hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Will it just annoy me? Will it piss me off the whole time? Because I don't want to be.
They do a lot of stock market stuff.
Yeah. One of the heirs of the Johnson & Johnson family decides to make a documentary about what it's like to be born rich.
Hmm.
And so he just is carrying a camera around all the time. And like right out of the gate, his dad, who, you know, the sort of like the senior manager of the family inheritance company, starts getting frustrated, and it's like it goes from having open family meetings to completely secret family meetings with no cameras. And so he realizes my family is not going to let me film them as much, so he starts filming his friends, his rich friends, because when you're that wealthy, you only know other young people who are also super rich, and one of those is Ivanka Trump. And it's weird because like that movie came out 10 years ago, and you know, it was on HBO or something and people watched it, but then like nowadays it's like a trip back in time to see Ivanka when she was like 22 or something.
She's fake rich anyway.
See, we can't even imagine what it's like. That's the reason why I always give Corey Feldman such a pass. I give him such a pass. I'm like, he'll say something stupid and I'm like, you idiot. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. You grew up and everybody adored you. And it was just, you just lived this totally different life than anything I could imagine. So you can say crazy crap.
You never have anybody in your life who says no to you. You're going to get screwed up. And there's so many examples of that.
Yeah. I think that's all true. I just don't know if I could get through a documentary like that. It would piss me off.
Oh, I know. Now that's different. Yeah. That's a different thing. Can I watch a bunch of morons? I don't know if I could do that. I may not blame you, but I also can't sit and watch you.
I mean, morons that have zero conception of anything outside of their padded
right.
world.
And when I say morons, I'm really probably more like ignorance. I mean,
because they don't know.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. Their idea of, you know, slumming it is going to Starbucks instead of their fancy coffee place they like better. Like, they just don't have any concept of it. And it would just rub me wrong because I would, you know, they're the people you don't want to be stuck with if the zombies come. They're the last people you want in the room ever. They're useless. They're absolutely useless.
You say that, but then I think I would, because they're probably the crazy people that have some kind of weird zombie kit in the back of their car they bought on a lark.
It's not these kids. These kids are stupid. No, maybe the parents, maybe the uppity dad who founded it all and was an immigrant and came over here with nothing and then built a multi-billion dollar company. Sure, maybe that guy does, but anybody with money, like people that are just ridiculously rich, as soon as the zombies come and money means nothing, you better hope you got plumbers, you better have carpenters, you better have guys that are good with the shooting range and their hunting rifles. You better
there's always an exception to the rule. I'm curious if y'all know anybody who was born filthy rich, like celebrity, that made it through it and was just very sensible and reasonable.
No,
because surely there's personally know anybody?
No. Just in the spotlight.
I mean, it's hard to say because you never really know what people's personal thing is.
What they're really, really like.
Yeah. Because who knows?
We talked about Joseph Gordon-Levitt earlier. I think he seems like he's well-adjusted and.
Yeah, but he didn't come from money,
child
did he?
Star. No, I guess that's true. Yeah, just child star.
But he was a child star, right?
Yeah, yeah. I guess there's probably a couple of.
I don't think of necessarily being born into money, but I think of getting a lot of money at an early age for acting, you know, child star kind of stuff.
Yeah, he did okay. Howard did okay.
There's
definitely good examples.
But it wasn't as much money, right?
Sure. And then you got guys,
the people who are the best at growing up with money, like being born into money, are the people we never hear of because they're not dicks who are born into money and like being dicks.
Yeah.
They're not on TMZ every other day. I got you. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. They're just quietly living about their lives in their palatial, mountain mansion and not worrying about, which is what I would do. I would totally just like F the spotlight. Yeah. I don't need your approval. I'll just go somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. I think that's why I don't like that lifestyle, because the ones I don't like are the ones I feel like they need to be in my face all the time.
Right.
That's it. We've discovered it. Look what we've done today. Mm-hmm. We've really
I feel better. It was a therapy.
Whew. Yeah, we've done it. We've done it.
Thanks a lot, Bradley Cooper.
Good job, Bradley Cooper. I'm going to play some clips now. There aren't a ton because the movie's just not full of quippy things to capture. It just isn't.
Yeah.
So I have like, I don't know, a half dozen of these, but they're okay. So here's here's a horse shit science alert, everybody. So get ready for this one. Here you go.
And you know how they say that we can only access 20% of our brain? Well, what this does, it lets you access all of it.
Oh, shut up, dude.
All of it? Wow. Even the bad parts?
28%.
So,
right.
Yeah. That was the hardest sequence on me, because I have an X or two. I could be run into an X's sibling that I haven't seen in a decade.
Sure.
Okay, and they're not going to give me anything. They're sure not going to give me anything like really expensive and powerful in that meeting at all. They're probably not going to have any interest in me. Why is this happening?
I don't know. It's like he was dumping it off. He knew his days were numbered. It was hard to read that guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I was supposed to feel, though, is that he was showing up going, yeah, we're great. Everything's great. Here's this pill. But really, everything's bad. And he's on the run because he's got this packet of pills he wasn't supposed to take.
You guys ever had like a, it felt like a high school friend you hadn't been friends with in a while, and they're just like, they just want to get you involved. They want to impress you. For some reason, Vernon wanted to impress him.
This happened with me after high school. A guy got into life insurance and showed up at my door and started trying to push me down this hole of life insurance. And he's using all the tricks of, we grew up together and we did it and all this stuff. Yeah. And I never did it. Yeah. Find out 2 years later, that guy got arrested for child porn. So, hey, good job.
Oh, jeez.
Good job, buddy.
Well, you got lucky then.
I was really expecting you to say, like, yeah, this guy got into marijuana or something. He was trying to get you in on it too. But then life insurance.
Yeah, life insurance and then porn.
Every person from the past I haven't seen in more than 10 years, I run in to them and we're like, oh, let's have a seat over here in the park and catch up. Every single one of them has found a way to ask me for money or favors.
Money or like join my multi-level marketing scheme or whatever.
Oh, buy Cutco knives or
those pyramid schemes always start with, start selling to your family and friends. Yes. That's the first line.
That's how you
your
destroy
greatest
families.
Resource is your contact list.
I have people, I have family in Phoenix who get into that stuff. And they sent me a text saying, hey, we should sit down and talk about this sometime. And I got, I decided this time, I got way out in front of it and said, nope, because A, I hate that stuff and I can't stand any of it. And B, I value my relationship with you. And so I'm not going to do that. We're not doing that. Yeah. And it was a little sticky for a while because they were unsure how to handle my forthrightness. But dude, at this stage of my life, ain't got no time for that.
Yeah,
you better back it up now. I'm not going to give any niceties. We're not going to go to dinner. And I'm going to go, oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, I don't know if we are really that interested. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to right up front go, no, but let's go to dinner for anyway and not talk about that. Let's just go.
Never mention that. Yes,
yeah, let's never talk about this stupid idea you have ever again and line the pockets of some a-hole who thinks, oh, we found a nut on the Amazon floor that when you process it, it causes your penis to grow 55 feet longer than it used to. Like, whatever. You're all making
this up. There's a nut that does that?
Can I interest you in a meeting?
There's a nut that sells it.
Yeah. It's a bad example, but you know. All right. Here is a, I have a joke for you. What do you call Eddie Van Halen with cyber implants? And here's the answer.
Enhanced Eddie.
There you go. Enhanced Eddie.
Enhanced Eddie.
Get it? Because he's got the implants and now he's enhanced.
Right.
All right. This guy is great, I wrote.
Because I don't see you before and I don't like you already.
Where's Mashmani? Bring Mashmani to me. Mashmani. Reminds me of that.
How unlimited was he? Not very unlimited.
No, he got a suit. That was how unlimited.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
You got a suit, a slightly better vocabulary, and
slightly, like you knew three new words.
Yeah. And he was going to get into his import export business, so he had some stuff.
Flea, I like that word, the flea. Yeah.
I never I'm used that word before.
I'm going to start a Vandalay Industries.
Yeah. But word of the calendar is the word of the day is flea. I use it five times, and then it becomes part of my vocabulary.
Oh my gosh, Dunaway, you're right. He did become Vandalay Industries. That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
It was
import,
amazing.
Export, yeah.
Like, I just couldn't stop thinking constantly early on about how Eddie was wasting time, really precious time.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of it all that amused me the most was that in one back-to-back, you see him go to the salon, okay, you got to go pay somebody to make you look super hot. Like, I guess I actually thought for a moment, oh, he took a pill that makes you a supermodel. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then back to back, he goes to the gym. Like, no.
Well, it wasn't so much a gym. It was like an empty room where he was doing sit-ups in front of a mirror. Basically, the worst gym in New York.
Yeah, exactly. What is he, Rocky? Yeah, you're Balboa.
It was all by himself.
Like 2-hour fitness or something like that.
Yeah. He wasn't in there very long. Here's a bad way to go, I wrote. Here you go.
You don't pay, you know what we do? I cut you at waist. Peel your skin up over your head and tie a knot in it. You don't die from this. You suffocate. Good luck.
I'm pretty sure you die from that.
How do you do the arms? Like, around the arms or... Right.
Wait, let's think.
Best not to think about it. I think it's one of those threats. It's like the more you think about it, the less you want to think about it.
Because sometimes I even have a hard time taking a sweater off. I don't know how you're going to pull my skin.
Yeah, you're
going to die. You're going to die.
You don't die from the cut. You die from the suffocation is what he said.
Right.
Oh, you're not going to die from suffocation. You're going to die from the pain. You're just going to pass out.
I think you just pass out. Yeah. Like that's not going to feel good. None of that feels good. And then the thing he was going to do later with, you know, dragging his 20 feet of intestines out, that sounded awful.
Right.
That guy was gross. The movie was almost R. They MPAA just eked in the PG-13 barely. They didn't have to make any cuts, but you could see why.
That's because they had Bradley Cooper come in and talk him into it. Come on.
They came in all handsome and said, listen, I'm going to drink blood, but it's fine. It's PG-13.
It's fine. I'm going to do it very tastefully.
Yeah. All right. Here's a here's not great dialogue. I didn't think this exchange was very good, if I'm to complain about anything.
Those things saved your life.
But they weren't me.
Yes, they were. No, the way it works.
I know how it works. I get it. I totally get it. You feel invincible.
I get it. That's right. Yeah. It's a melodramatic moment.
You know, Vernon was the worst. I mean, I know he got shot in the head, so that was good, but he was just the worst. Got his sister addicted. He's just like, he was just giving those pills out left and right. Here, take some of this.
Yeah.
Take some of this.
He was kind of bad. But also, well, I don't know. I got a lot of questions about how you move forward with a company who now you've heard him admit that they make the pills and I don't know. Something there. Maybe the TV show picks up that where that left off and goes.
A little bit. I mean, you even get, you know, Bradley Cooper and his political rise and all that sort of thing, but I'm trying to remember there is talk about where the pills come from, the manufacturer of them, and that sort of thing.
I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know if I do. Yeah. I am going to watch that season, though. Everyone says it's worth seeing. So
it's so good. Yeah.
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 I was going to say this. I forgot. The ultimate chick in the bucket, by far for me, is this unpublished book. The whole plot device is, hey, I was under this influence and wrote this book finally, and it's brilliant, and the lady can't put it down. Therefore, it will be the most popular book ever, and I'll make millions from that. They never even did anything with it.
They they showed it. They showed it later for like just a hot minute. It was on. It was like when he was at
full of them.
Yeah. Yeah, when he was at his little. I guess that's how he got his fame and how he was able to become a politician is what it was kind of.
Is that the implication? Because they really didn't express that.
I think that's what they were implying.
Okay. All right. Maybe I missed the subtlety of that, but it just seemed like the book got forgotten completely, and it was important in the beginning. I thought that would be the thing that would rocket him to his success. And truthfully, if you want to do this without getting $100,000 from freaking sleazy mobsters, just have your super successful book because you were on the pill.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he couldn't get another advance if the book was so dang good.
Yeah,
I mean,
if it was the greatest book ever written, is what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Here's a great Matrix joke. You always like one of these.
Don't wear the same color suit. This isn't the Matrix.
Don't wear the same color suit. This isn't the Matrix. I like it.
That was good.
Yeah. I love it when movies are aware of other movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're in the same. So confirmed in the Matrix universe. Limitless.
No, they're in our universe. Oh, the one where we all saw the Matrix.
Got it. Are these? Is this a Warner Brothers production, this film? Because maybe that's why they can say that, because it's a Warner Brothers joint.
I don't remember seeing the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, they didn't have a big bat flying in the sky transforming into a WB, so I'm pretty sure not.
I had to finish it because Brian started it. All right.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Glad you did. Yes.
Here's them using the name in the movie.
Limitless supply. We know you can't get any more.
Yeah, Limitless. See, got snuck that in.
Limitless.
There. Yeah, good job.
Virgin, and it was distributed by Relativity.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. All right.
Relativity.
Now we have this. It's the Film Sack checklist. He looks great even when he's lumpy and gross. Check. Skate to the face. Check. And finally. Just me in a box of hands in the base. Sorry, just me in a box of hands in the back seat of the taxi. Check. I just think you should have shut that lid.
Box of hands. You gotta have a box of hands.
It feels like you should shut it and tape it shut, though. You know what
Amazon
I mean?
Amazon delivery.
Yeah, I mean, well, whatever. Body parts being delivered in the mail, sort of Seven style like that. That's got to be a trope of some sort.
I was definitely screaming, "Don't open the box!" Yeah. I was definitely sitting there going, "Don't open the
box." I'm just saying, I can count on 35 fingers how many times I've had that happen.
Nicely done. All right, a Trek connection. We have one. Cindy Katz played Marla Sutton, the mom, I think, or the wife of the dying executive guy. DS9
Cindy
played
Katz,
she
meow.
Played Yetepa in the third season episode, Second Skin. And in Voyager, played the Cardassian Kajel in the seventh season episode, Flesh and Blood. And soundtrack, you gave a G for great. I liked it. It was really good, effective, and fun.
Oh, you're right. I have to say, though, I didn't think about the soundtrack. I never thought about the score the entire time watching this movie. That's very rare for me.
Hmm. I did when the super zoom was happening all the time.
Yeah, that's when the only time I remember really.
And it was really effectively... matched with it. I thought it was really good. But other than that, you're right. And maybe that's good. Sometimes in a movie, you don't want to be distracted by it.
It was a very light touch.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. All right. This is where you guys get to sum up this damn thing in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Limitless. You will never believe how easy it is to get women in this town to have sex with you. All you have to do is take this one little pill, and even a married woman who hates you because you owe her rent money will ride you like a Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Yeah. Didn't actually see that one coming. Nice job. Snuck it in at the end there. All right. Well done. Also, take your pants off, Bradley Cooper. Don't have them down.
Oh, wow. I thought you were talking to me for a minute. I'm like, Scott.
Put them back on. Yeah. Put them back on.
Take your pants off,
Take your
Randy.
Pants off, Randy.
Yeah. They should have been off this whole episode. All right. Let's now do Dunaway.
Okay. Limitless. Like a designer drug pocket built into your fancy tailored suit. Kind of neat, but not very useful. Don't do drugs.
Yeah. That seemed weird to me. because it just looked like a zipper.
And a little secret pocket.
Oh, like every other thing has. Something
there was
that.
Something. There was something very magical about those beans that were in that bag that they called pills, because they never really. He always seemed to have more, even though he kept taking like two a day. It seemed like every time I saw the bag, it was just like,
yeah, like oh, that the bag that he had hidden at his girlfriend's house. Like, oh, that seems like about the same amount that he started with.
I know we're in the middle of Twitter posts. Don't lose that, but it is ridiculous that this disheveled, scared man could find the thing that the henchman that came and killed a guy and ransacked his place couldn't find. That is insane. That doesn't happen. There's no way that happened.
Right. Maybe he still just had a little bit of the drug in him. Just a little. Just
no, I'm saying the first time. Yeah, before the first time he ever.
He knows that that guy never cooks.
Mm-hmm. but he was still riding off that first drug. No, he hadn't.
Oh, okay. So this was the day after. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Mm. Residue.
He had just. He had a little bit of a hangover going. Yeah. Oh, Bradley Cooper had a hangover.
Very nice.
He actually bit his lip, and he got a recharge. It was.
Okay, sorry. Please.
All right. Where were we? Oh, Brian Ibbett, your turn, I think.
Limitless. All of this infinite zoom is going to make me barf upside down. Oh my God, 3M adhesive rubber bumper pads.
Oh, that really did gross me out. It was a pretty effective
those
barf.
Little 3M adhesive rubber bumper pads are the little transparent pads you put on the bottom of things that are circular and transparent.
Yeah. They're like little, to keep it from scarring up your table and stuff. Like,
that's what they do. Exactly.
It and, keep like your, and it keeps you from. It also keeps you from slamming the cabinet doors if you put them on the little.
Oh right, right. They don't make as much noise. True.
Yeah, as far as I know, there are no such things as tablets that are like little transparent-y looking plasticky ones. I don't think they exist.
Nope. We could have asked Dan Patrice about that.
I take the dye-free Benadryl. It's close to that, but it's a little larger. It's a little
really? More, it's like a little a clear thing? Like a...
It's clear. It's just pretty clear.
Really?
Dye-free medicine is usually like that. Because it
dye-free? What is dye?
Yeah,
dye-free?
If you take a dye-free liquid capsule, it will be clearer.
I'm looking right now.
And let's agree, those pills were badass. Like,
oh, they're cool.
Oh. Yeah.
That was a great little bit of design for the movie.
I agree.
I mean, it wasn't Breaking Bad badass, but it was pretty cool.
There are some decent looking pills, but they're mostly multicolored and not so much trans. I'm looking at a bunch of pictures here, and they don't seem transparent in any way. I think that's the big kicker here is they look cool because they were like space age looking freaking. Oh, there's naked people somehow. What do I have going on here? I have safe search off.
On my computer.
Yeah, no, it's the safe search is off. All I did was search for dye-free medicine, and I got some naked chick. So, well done. Well done, Internet. Google, you just blow our minds. All right, what are we doing now? Oh, yeah, this right here. Alternate titles. It was almost called The Hangover Over. I don't know why.
I get it.
It doesn't make sense. It's just
that's pretty good. No, I think it's pretty good.
Or Adderall is Batterall. All
right. Even better.
Yeah, even better. All
it
right.
It was. We didn't actually talk about what did we think this like. What was this drug most like? That was something that I thought about a lot. Like, is it most like Adderall?
Yeah, what were they trying?
I would say
first
Adderall.
Thing he does. Actually, the very first thing he does is clean his apartment. Come on.
Yeah,
really?
Adderall and cocaine.
Right. I think there's a lot of cocaine
stimulants.
References. Yeah. Like you think you're doing more than you actually are. Possibly.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all about the stimulant
speed,
and
high speed.
Yeah, speed. All that stuff. I mean, Adderall basically is speed. It's just legal speed. And Adderall is the whole idea of Adderall is focus, right? Creates focus and energy, and you can stay up all night working on your homework and get it done and get your papers done and all that. Like, I think Adderall is the subject here, but the down, like the coming off of it, the pain and sickness and all that, that's very what downers do. Like if you're coming off heroin addiction or you're coming off benzo addictions or whatever, that's where you end up with that stuff. So it was a kind of a weird mix, and they were really good about things like, you know, you got to taper, and that's true of real drugs, and you should never stop them at once or you're going to die kind of stuff, or you'll cause seizures, or like all those things are legit.
You're going to die.
Yeah. You're gonna, and so many words. Yeah. Hey, we got a call this week, not an email. This is a phone call. It's a voice message. We were received here at 801-471-0462. You are encouraged to do that as well. You can still email us at filmsack@gmail.com. But this call is about our discussion here and there about what movies scared us as kids that we probably wouldn't be so scared of now. And here's this call right here, 20 seconds. Check it out.
Hi, this is Keaton for FilmSack. I just wanted to call in and contribute my movie that I know is not scary, but scared me so bad as a kid. It was Mars Attacks. My parents were watching it, and for some reason, those aliens and turning people into skeletons and whatnot scared me so bad that I threw up.
Oh, wow.
Love the show. Thanks.
I love his
weird alien talking.
Yeah, that was a weird movie. Why has that never been sacked? What's our problem? How come?
It was on our list and then it got pulled. Like it was one that we had planned on watching and it went off streaming just before we were going to watch it.
You're right. Mm-hmm. 1996. Jack Nicholson was in that. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the president.
President James Dale.
President Jack.
Let's see here. Yeah, we should do that. It's not.
It's on our film sad list.
It's still.
Because we were going to watch it and then it disappeared.
So, do we have an answer for his question? So is there like a movie that.
Oh, we've talked about a million of them before. That's why he's calling in. But we've all had.
Well, we talked about the ones that scared us. But is he more asking like which ones made us leave the theater and throw up?
I had a movie like that. It was. I may have just been sick though.
The Blair Witch Project.
I may have just been sick. Oh, that was
Oh, you know what? Blair Witch did make me kind of sick. I remember being in that theater and I had to kind of look at my feet a lot.
A little bit with Cloverfield. For the
Cloverfield. I had eaten two hot dogs, two large hot dogs, completely covered with jalapeno slices. Wow.
That's what made you throw up.
Oh,
right.
Okay. All right.
You weren't.
You could have seen You've Got Mail and thrown up.
Did you go see it opening night? Had you not heard anything? Like
yes, it was opening night. No one knew anything about it. I feel like Cloverfield was kind of sprung on us. I just had this feeling, you know, like. Cloverfield happened really fast and it was announced without a lot of fanfare and trailers and stuff.
Yeah.
Does anybody else remember that?
I remember being pretty hyped about
secret. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being pretty hyped, but the monster was hidden. So that was kind of like they had a lot of intrigue, but not very much to it.
My sister-in-law barfed in Lion King. She had to leave. I can't remember why. I don't remember
I also got really sick while watching The Passion of the Christ in like IMAX or whatever. But I think I just had like a stomach flu and they just coincided.
Yeah, that's the worst, right? Because now you associate it with it. Like maybe that movie's no big deal, but like I would hate to be that kid who got sick on Star Wars Day or something. Because then he's always going to think, because that's how it was for me. If I ate a bunch of Captain Crunch and then barfed on the couch, I blamed Captain Crunch for the rest of my life and can hardly even look at the stuff. And it would be bad to associate it with something we love like Star Wars or whatever. But I love it. If you at home, if any of you have barfed because of a movie or in a movie, tell us what it was. Why not? We'll get some feedback about that, I'm sure. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com and tell us, or 801-471-0462. Just like Keaton did. By the way, just check Mars Attacks. Mars Attacks is currently not streaming anywhere on services other than rentals. So we will keep our eye on it, and eventually that thing will get in. So
Titanic, 3 hours, front row seats.
Front row seats is the killer, right? I mean, it's like you try and buy your tickets ahead of time, but if you don't and you're stuck in the front row, that is nausea-inducing.
It
for
was
sure.
the worst trying to watch. Oh. DiCaprio go back and forth across the screen. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Near, far. Nope. Just near. Near is all it is.
So there you go. That's the deal. We've done Limitless. Next week is our what movie? What is it?
Oh, next week we're gonna watch Rocky III.
We're gonna watch it.
We're gonna watch
Ratchet. Rock Rocky. Come on, Rocky.
We're gonna watch Rocky III next week. And I'm excited because, and I shared this with you guys recently, but I want to just lay it out for the audience. You're listening to FilmSack for a decade now, and our first Rocky movie we ever watched was Rocky V, and then at some point we watched Rocky IV, so this is now Rocky III. About 20 years from now, we're going to get down to the first one, and we're going to have to dig down and find Rocky -1, and I can't wait for that.
Yeah,
it wasn't prior to that. Wasn't he doing porn? I don't think we should do that.
Bad idea. Oh yeah, that's right. It's his nickname, right? The Italian Stallion.
Stallion. Yeah. It wasn't because he was eating subs or I don't know.
Hey, there's a new teaser trailer out for Rambo Last Blood. Have you seen this?
So excited about this!
No, that's a fake.
I'm so excited about this.
It's a real name.
It's John Rambo film that he made, I don't know, 7 years ago or something.
Yeah.
He said that was going to be the last one. And then when it came out, people were like, oh, that's a pretty good movie. You should make more of these. And good. He's like, right, it's not going to be the last one. but Sly, you said, okay, so apparently this is really going to actually be the last one. And so he has kind of led everyone to believe that Rambo is dying in this film. And I hope so. I would like to see the death of John Rambo.
I think John Rambo is dying. He's protecting his land for some reason, because the tagline is get off his lawn or something. And it looks like government agents or something are coming to get him. I can't tell what. But he has to confront his past, meaning the first blood past, and unearth his ruthless combat skills to exact revenge in a final mission. And it's called Rambo Last Blood. And I can't wait for it. I cannot wait.
I'm so excited. I mean, the films that he has written and directed, or written and starred in, sorry, over the last 20 years have all been pretty good. The guy hasn't made a huge stinker that I can see. And I'm including all three Extendables films. Extendables, the Extendables. He made a movie about penis surgery. No, the Expendables movies they all have a pretty good script, and so that's why I like that he's doing it again.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. So watch for that. I don't know when that comes out, but that'll get sacked in the future.
It's like, man, it looks so much like Logan.
It does.
Oh, really?
It's a very Logan vibe. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Well, the last one was kind of like that, except he was in a foreign place still. I can't tell where this is set. To be honest, the teaser gives nothing away, really. It's just him being pissed with guns. So
I guess it's kind of what you want.
Yeah, that's what you want.
And knives.
It's what you pay for when you get
to answer your question, Scott. Rambo Last Blood is coming out in 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh. Boy, they just snuck that right up on
really?
Us. Really?
Yeah. Like, where's the Cloverfield?
I've been breaking some things.
Man.
Although
we'll be sacking this thing before you know it.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be on Netflix by October. It was filmed mostly in Spain. That interests me because, you know, he's one of these people. All the Extendables, I'm just going to call him that forever now. Sure. All the Extendables movies were filmed in places other than where they were set. It's always this like weird thing where it's like, oh, Czechoslovakia has to stand in for Florida or whatever. But this is the same thing. I think in the last movie, he ends up in the United States reclaiming the family farm. And so like Spain is the United States for this movie. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but it's exciting.
So was it originally going to be like Texas? Is it like set in Texas and he decided like, I don't like Texas. We're going south.
I think, you know what it really honestly could be, the idea of somebody either a militia and or government going after John Rambo, who's holed up at some compound. Probably a little too raw of a subject in America right now. You know, like you don't want to create a Waco or a freaking Ruby Ridge sort of scenario where, I don't know. I just think that's just trippy territory that he may not want to get all wrapped up in, even this late in his career.
Yeah, he's so John Rambo. He don't care.
Yeah, John Rambo don't give a crap. He's
one of the few things we know about this movie is that the MPAA kind of choked on it, and they had to be convinced to give it an R rating rather than an NC-17. And I love that. Come on. It's 2019. What could be in a Rambo movie that is NC-17? I can't even imagine.
Hard car porn.
Yeah, hard car porn. I love good hard car porn. Well, there you go. That's going to be it for us today. Don't forget, you can go to filmsack.com for everything you're looking for, including all our archive episodes. Some people have said, wait, where'd they
all
go?
Can I find happiness there?
You can find happiness there as well. Yeah. As well as episodes all the way back to the Kroll episode one back in 2009, if you're looking for that. That's all there as well. So check that out. Voicemails again are at 801-471-0462, filmsack@gmail.com. If you're trying to email us, and on Twitter, we're at filmsack. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Oh, that's me. Hi, bye.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
There you go.
Well, next on our list is Legion 2010. Yes. Paul Bettany.
Yes.
Big yes. Big faces. Yes.
It is not streaming either.
No!
Shut up.
I really wanted to see Legion.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.